Hi there, and welcome to episode 82 of the Smart English Coach podcast, the podcast that helps you get to advanced English level fast. I'm delighted to welcome Tree Blackmore, an English teacher and professional skills trainer, and the host of the Grow Your English podcast. Welcome, Tree.
Hi, Claire. It's great to be talking to you today.
Tree is also going to talk at the Advanced English Summit about listening skills, and her talk is called 5 Tips to Help You Advance Your English Listening Skills. So, Tree, what are some of the reasons that people find listening difficult?
I think one of the main reasons in terms of English listening is the lack of kind of sound correspondence. So learners that have encountered a lot of written text when they come to the listening side of things might be confused by words that sound different to how they see them on the page. And it's easy to get discouraged, I think, with listening, because if you're looking at something in a book or anything that you're looking at on the screen, you can just go back and reread. If you're talking to somebody, listening is quite fleeting. The sounds have gone before you've got a chance to kind of process them, and you can't just kind of rewind a person. So the speed of speech in English can be quite challenging, and also the way that English speakers blend the sounds. So what's called connected speech. So the kind of the sounds which disappear between words when we're speaking, the intrusive sounds that pop in and can kind of confuse the ear of an intermediate listener. And also, English is a stress-timed language as opposed to a syllable-timed language like Spanish, for example. So with a stress-timed language, there would be parts of stretches of speech which come through more quickly, and the ear is still decoding those, and certain parts of speech then slow down slightly because we put the stress on different parts of a sentence depending on the meaning.
Yeah, so there are lots of things then that make English particularly hard to understand, perhaps in relation to languages like Spanish. And in fact, that's quite interesting, isn't it? Would you say that English is a more difficult language to understand than other languages, or is it only because of fast speech that make it difficult?
Yes, that's a big question, isn't it? I've learnt French, I've learnt Spanish, I've learnt German, I'm now learning Welsh as a beginner. I think perhaps what makes English more challenging could be the rich, deep vocabulary that we have, which is a result of various different influences on the language. I think English grammar perhaps is not as difficult as other languages. I'm sure there'll be some people out there that disagree with me. But I think, the vocabulary of English could make it more challenging.
That's an interesting point that you make about vocabulary, because what I've seen happen to some of my students is that they are listening to spoken English and a word that they are familiar with is used, but it's used in a different context. And that's very common with English, isn't it? Because one word has so many different meanings. And how do you know that what you're hearing is the meaning that you know and it's not a different meaning?
Yes, that's a really good point, especially with, for example, phrasal verbs. Get being a good example. I mean, the name of my talk is actually Listen Up, 5 Ways to Improve Your Listening. So the up there, the particle in that sense, doesn't mean improve, it means pay attention. It changes the meaning of the word listen. So that's a really good example of how that can perhaps cause some difficulties for students who are still learning all the different ways the words work.
So what tips then can you offer people to improve their listening?
So we mentioned speed. If you're working with recorded audio, something on the internet, if you're using coursebook audio or anything digital that you can kind of manipulate, you can easily go back, rewind, listen again, what's called intensive listening, kind of isolate the bits that you find difficult, try and write them out perhaps, or if you've got a transcript available, refer to that, I usually say with transcripts, don't try and read as you listen. Use them after you've done your listening work, partly because of the spelling difficulties that we already spoke about. There's so much out there on the internet compared to when I started learning languages years ago. But it's perhaps taking a kind of a more broken down approach. So when I say broken down, I mean taking things a little bit more in a detailed way, really focusing in. People listen to a lot of stuff, they watch a lot of stuff. There's that kind of washing over of Netflix shows or favourite podcasts in the background. But I think to really advance, you need to pay a little bit more attention to the intricacies of what you're listening to. Obviously, if you're talking to English speakers, you can't rewind them. However, I would suggest that you kind of prepare yourself with a couple of phrases or ways of asking for repetition for really important things, or asking people to clarify what they've said. And don't be afraid to do that. You can say, English is my second, third, fourth language. You know, don't be ashamed of not understanding. You know, you're working in a different language. A sympathetic listener will help you. A sympathetic speaker will help you to understand. They would be pleased to repeat their point if you're showing that you're truly interested in what they're saying. So have a couple of phrases to help you through a conversation like that. And then another thing, whether it's recorded audio or speaking to a person, make some notes immediately afterwards, after the conversation or after the work that you've done, whether it's in a notebook or notes on your phone, or even speaking into your phone. You can record your thoughts, any key points, key words, language of interest, and kind of keep that listening record, if you like.
These are great points. I particularly like the point you make about asking the person to repeat and to have a couple of phrases. And I would say certainly that most people I've come across are what you call sympathetic speakers. And I don't think anybody has a problem if you say, sorry, I really didn't get that. They're generally very, very happy to repeat what they said, because when it comes down to it, communication is a two-way thing, isn't it? You know, both people have the, if you like, responsibility to have clear communication. So obviously the responsibility of listening, but also the responsibility of speaking. You know, make sure that what you say is clear. And I love the point you said about keeping some sort of record, because it's easy, isn't it? You know, we have the conversation and afterwards we don't go back and think about it. But making notes immediately afterwards, and as you said, using your phone is really, really helpful, because it gives you something then to work on in the future, doesn't it?
Yes, and if anybody's like me, I forget things very quickly if I haven't got a record of them or written them down or got them kind of stuck up around my computer if I'm, you know, things that I need to remember for lessons. So if you're working a lot online and listening to your colleagues, for example, you can have certain things up around your workspace to help you, you know, interrupt politely and ask for clarification. Yeah, definitely.
Yes, absolutely. And do you have any final tips, then, Tree, specifically for people at advanced level to improve their listening?
I think one of the other speakers at the summit is going to deal with exam listening in particular.
Yes.
But Cambridge Advanced, for example, some of the tasks that students are asked to do are related to kind of the emotions of the speakers and the relationship between speakers. So I think paying attention to intonation, phrases, and kind of cues to guide you to the speaker's intentions and feelings and the purpose of a dialogue or a group conversation can be really useful, because we do use our range of pitch and intonation in English to signal what we really mean. For
exactly.
Example, I exaggerated for effect there, but that the intonation, the music of the language. English is actually quite a musical language. We do go up and down the scale quite a lot. If you're watching series and things, sarcasm and kind of the humour of language can be conveyed by the way the stress lands and the intonation changes.
Yeah, that's very true, isn't it? In fact, some speakers of other languages might think that our intonation is really, exaggerated. But it's true. You know, even I, you know, just saying that, it's true. And you really emphasize and your voice will really have that musicality. And I think perhaps if people even try that intonation themselves, even if it feels a little bit forced, a little bit exaggerated, then perhaps they become more used to hearing it. And so they will also understand how emotion and attitude are connected so closely to the intonation. Yeah, lovely point. That's fantastic. So Tree, thank you very much indeed. It's really, really interesting to hear your points about how people can improve their English listening. And just for people on the podcast, to let you know, Tree will be giving her talk at the Advanced English Summit Friday the 19th of April at 2 p.m. UK time, and her talk is called Listen Up, 5 Tips to Help You Advance Your English Listening Skills. And I will leave the links in the show notes. Thank you so much, Tree, for coming along to the podcast. It was such an interesting talk. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claire. It was really good to talk about listening.
Don't forget to join us at the Advanced English Summit. 3 days, 10 teachers, and lots of advice to help you get to advanced English level. The best part is that it's completely free. The link to join is smartenglishcoach.com/summit, and I will put the link in the show notes. See you there.